What's up, bonus skewers, patrons across the skew universe? Thanks for supporting the show. It's time for another bonus edition of Weekly Skews. I do think we're going to put this one out as a little tantalizer, a little appetizer for people. So you might be hearing this even if you're not a patron and you're getting a glimpse of what the patrons get. It's not going to be too groundbreaking. It's just we just do the show again, but it's like another episode of it. But anyway, I'm Trey, and that's Mark. We're recording this on Friday, May 1st. It's about 5 o'clock p.m. on the East Coast, which is where I currently am. I'm in a hotel in Brooklyn, New York. Mark is still there in his mushroom forest back on the West Coast. How's it going, Mark?
Good, man. We're talking about some surveillance cameras exploding all over America and a public backlash to them. Flock safety, you guys might be familiar. But before we get to the show, because it's Mother's Day, I wanted to talk about Elon Musk for a second. Here's a big court case where he's suing Sam Altman. Has been happening in San Francisco, and here it featured this bit of testimony. He's asked to define who Siobhan Zillis is to him, and he said, "My chief of staff." And it's important to note here that Siobhan Zillis is the mother of four of his children. So I hope she gets a world number one chief of staff mode for Mother's Day.
Right. To be fair, though, don't he have like 32 test tube children or something like that? I mean, not literally 32, but he got a ton, don't he? Like, he's got like broodmare women, right? Which is
gross. He has 14 acknowledged children, okay? And they had rumored to have a cult compound with unknown numbers of human broodmares bearing his children after being artificially inseminated, right? So right. That's scuttlebutt.
Right. Because that's not like straight out of a fucking dystopian sci-fi story or anything at all, and he's got them hooked up to cables and shit straight into their nipples and stuff like that, like some fucking suburban Mad Max stuff or whatever, and everybody's like, this guy rules.
Do you remember that it was a fetish video that went viral on the right-wing internet because they thought it was real life, like a real thing in China where these guys are being milked for their sperm, but it was just like it was a porn video they just thought was an actual laboratory.
Yes.
That's where Elon actually lives. So I was always wondering, do you think Elon gets Mother's Day gifts for all of his kids' mothers or just the ones he actually had sex with?
If they're lucky. I think, I feel like Elon's the kind of guy that's like, hey, you get to live in my, cul-de-sac compound, right? Sex compound. So that's... Mm-hmm. That's enough of a present for you, I feel like. But I don't know. Maybe he definitely has his favorites. For a while there, he was obviously trotting out little baby Beep Boop, the robot noise kid. That was the dedicated mascot child. So he probably takes care of that kid's mom, I guess, which is the pop singer lady. Anyway.
Yeah, that's she. Yeah, I forget how many I have with Grimes, but X was the only one he actually like he was using the human shield back when he thought he was going to be assassinated. The rest of his kids are either he doesn't like hanging out with them or he doesn't like using them as human shields. So, what basically happened in this lawsuit is Elon's suing Sam Altman for stealing OpenAI from him, basically, or getting his investment under false pretenses because it was originally a nonprofit and then Sam Altman pivoted to trying to make money with it, which Elon thinks is bad, even though he's trying to make money with Grok. I don't know. It doesn't matter. This is a key moment to understanding the whole trial because it's basically like it's different competing narratives for whose company is utopian and whose is dystopian. But to me, they're both dystopian, but that's not really relevant to this trial. But like, this is actually like the Sam Altman's lawyer introduced this moment during cross-examination. This is a key moment from a Tesla analyst call where Elon said, so like, if I go ahead and build this enormous AI-enabled robot army, can I just be ousted sometime in the future? He was asking, if he builds a robot army, can Tesla fire him and turn the robot army against him?
Yeah. It's wild it took that long for that to occur to him. To me, I feel like if I was building a robot army, one of my very first thoughts would be like, wait a minute. They're not going to, like, tear me to pieces, are they? Like, they're going to be cool about that, right? They're only going to tear to pieces the people whom I direct them to tear to pieces.
Right.
It took him a little longer to get there.
This is essentially like a lawsuit deciding between two of the wings of the Tesrael cult that we talk about all the time. It's kind of like if, like, Methodists and Baptists sued each other in court to see which one was the best, subgenre of Christianity. But, like,
right.
So Sam Altman's in the We'll Go Extinct, but Be the AI's Pet wing, and Elon is in the We'll Be Immortal with Brain Chip AIs that Serve Us on Mars wing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a really funny idea to let a jury decide who gets to be the Pope of this stupid fucking religion.
Right. Can I ask you something, though? Because I didn't, you know, most of everything I've ever learned about Sam Altman, I've learned from you. Mm-hmm. You just said he's in the We'll Go Extinct, but We'll Get to Be Their Pet wing. Like, that's his, like, official position on it. It's like, yeah, this will pretty much end humanity as we know it. But, you know, we'll get to at least be, like, a, you know, a favored servant of the robot gods or something like that. And my question is, if that is his public position, why is he still actively pursuing it? Because it makes him billions of dollars? Or because he's like, that would be better for humanity than what we currently are doing? Or, like, you know, how does he justify actively pursuing an end goal like that?
he thinks there's a lot of different extinctionist cults in the Bay Area, but he thinks we're building a replacement species for us that is AI, and that's good. It's like kind of like when Homo sapiens replaced Cro-Magnon or whatever. Right. So, like, we will either learn how to coexist with the Sam Altman has already paid for a service to have his brain digitized when he dies, so he can be uploaded into the AI and live forever. Like, this is a thing. Like, you, I am not making this up.
Right.
So, like, so these are things that Musk has said so far in his trial. Larry Page called me a speciesist for being pro-human, because the AI is a competing species, and if you prefer humans over AI, that means you're a speciesist. Hey, Larry Page, you know, worked for, was that Google? Yeah, I think Google, yeah. So, quote, we could achieve a better AI-human symbiosis, Elon said that. And I worked as a lumberjack, actually, Elon said. It was pertinent. He also got asked about a haunted house he lived in that he believed was haunted. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So my favorite moment of this trial is, you know, the famous, like, example of a loaded question, like a logic trap is like, have you stopped beating your wife?
You stopped beating your wife? Right. Yes. Because if you say yes, that implies that you did. That's a tacit admission that at one point you did beat your wife. Mm-hmm. Right. And if you say no, that tacitly implies you're going to keep on beating your wife. So,
right. So Elon tried to invoke that because he was tired of being asked yes or no questions, even though that's how you do deal with a hostile witness when you're cross-examining someone. There's no other way to do it because you can't make Elon answer a fucking question. So he says, the classic answer to a yes or no question is not so simple. For example, if you ask the question, will you stop beating your wife? That is a different question that does have a yes or no answer to it.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
God, we're ruled by the dumbest motherfuckers, man. So, typically, the trial like this, if people are protesting outside, you expect them to be taking one side or the other. But instead of people protesting outside, holding up signs with images of both Altman and Musk looking ugly as shit, with the signs read, like, am I the asshole? And with the answer, everyone sucks here.
Yeah, if you don't know, that's Reddit parlance. There's a very popular subreddit called Am I the Asshole? And one of the... There's only so many answers you can give. You say, you are the asshole, you are not the asshole, there are no assholes, or ESH, everyone sucks here. So that's like straight off of Reddit, which totally tracks given the setting of this particular trial.
Right, but it's like everyone sucks here should also be the jury's verdict. Like Elon only invested $38 million in OpenAI, which is like, if I got $38 million, you would never hear of me again, right?
Right.
But for Elon, it's a drop in the bucket. He doesn't care about $38 million. And, like, so, like, he just wants to try to put OpenAI out of business. And, like, I wish they would all be put out of fucking business. Right. But this is a really funny moment, too. Elon told the jury, if you ask AI to analyze this court case, for example, it will give really good analysis. Then he paused for a minute and added, but you need to be careful that it doesn't hallucinate. They're trying to get control of our species over a thing that will make up a fake verdict in his stupid trial. And it'd be funny if the jury came back and said, Your Honor, our verdict is that Claude says to kill all these motherfuckers.
Right. God. Yes. Yeah, the omniscient ghost god in the machine kind of trips out sometimes, so you got to navigate that. But otherwise, you know, doing really good work. All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. We appreciate it. You know, no plugs on the bonus episodes, as always. So we'll just dive right in, as we always do, with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. To Today's DD, our stupid panopticon for trying to drive this one poor guy in Colorado insane.
We get a little glimpse into the dystopian future. A Coloradan keeps getting pulled over because Flock surveillance cameras tell police he has an active warrant. He doesn't. But he can't convince the surveillance network to leave him alone. Our Spencer Soyster has that.
All right. Over here. So we're going to talk about this guy. I'll show more clips in a second. But this is all happening. This guy gets pulled over like multiple times per day in his little town because the camera keeps flagging him and sending cops to pull him over. All right.
How did the robot get programmed to target this dude?
Well, it's a combination of trusting the computer too much, the computer surveilling everyone all the time, and cops, as usual, being lazy as fuck, right? So he has a guy has an O in his license plate. I guess if cops don't know whether it's a zero or an O in a license plate, they put a warrant out for fucking both.
What?
Right?
That feels like something that should have been fixed like a long time ago. You know, I know there's ways to fix it. Make the zeros have a fucking slash through them or whatever. Like, it's not that hard of a problem, dude. You can't just land on, well, we'll just arrest both, you know, if we can't tell. Like, that's such an American policing fucking solution.
I mean, imagine like a different thing. It's like we know his name is Mark, but we don't know his last name. So just put a warrant out on Mark. Right. So basically this is this guy's hell. I'll watch a little bit of this video if you got it, Matt.
In any fashion.
Kyle made sure his dash cam was recording yesterday after Cherry Hills Village police officers pulled him over near the same area Saturday.
Hello. Oh, we got you last week.
Yeah.
For the warrant.
Oh.
I was driving through here yesterday. And I got pulled over again.
So here's the really maddening part about this. Here's the part that's going to make you fucking furious. Because you'd think they'd be able to fix this, right? Like, all they got to do is push a button. It's like, okay, we've got a warrant out for the wrong guy. We know it's not the O, right? It must be the zero guy at minimum. But that still isn't good enough for the police department nor Flock. You've got this next clip, Matt. This is going to drive you fucking insane, Dre.
Kyle has called both the Gilpin County Courts and Sheriff's Office to get off the list. But they've told him he needs to know who the warrant is for, which nobody can tell him.
Yeah, all I know is I'm in this system now. And
he has to solve the crime.
Really easy way to get out of the system once.
He has to fucking figure out who the warrant's actually for, not them, for them to fucking take him off the list.
What? How? In what universe does that make any kind of sense? What is it? I don't understand what the justification for that is supposed to be. They all seem to acknowledge, sorry, bro, you're right, it isn't you. But they can't take him out of the system unless he does some, like, vigilante vengeance movie plot where he takes the law into his own hands and finds out, you know, who the actual guy is that, whatever, robbed a couple of 7-Elevens or whatever happened. Like, I mean, that's insane. What?
It's like none of that in the Dark Knight.
None of that is how any of that should ever work.
Remember the Dark Knight when Batman has to go to Hong Kong and render a guy and leave him handcuffed back on the courthouse of Gotham? Right? This is like, he has to do that, or the fucking computer. Like, he did get his little town to take him off their list, so he doesn't get pulled over as long as he doesn't leave the fucking confines of his little city. But if he takes his, he's basically imprisoned in this little city, because if he leaves, the state cops will fucking pull him over. Again, we have insanely militarized cops who can fucking fly off the handle and shoot him any moment. This is basically a death threat from the fucking computer company. But I wanted to start off with this, to have a fun example of this, because this is the funniest nightmare scenario for this technology. But the country is currently being blanketed by these things, these Flock cameras. This is Flock Safety, by the way, the company that runs these cameras. And towns both big and small. We're talking here about automated license plate readers to start with. These are cameras that capture and analyze images of all passing vehicles, storing details like your car's location, date, and time. They also capture the car's make, model, color, and identifying features such as dents, roof racks, bumper stickers, right, which are political sometimes. And they turn these all into searchable data points via AI. These cameras collect data on millions of vehicles, regardless of whether the driver is suspected of a crime. Right now, Flock operates in 6,000 cities across the United States with over 76,000 license plate readers and counting, they say. But the website / organization deflock.me has mapped over 90,000 cameras nationwide, which means Flock is lying about how many cameras they have, for which this Flock CEO, a guy named Garrett Langley, referred to deflock.me as a terroristic organization for counting their cameras.
Right. So, okay, let me ask you this. Are these just like the smarter versions of basically like red light cameras and that type of thing, which I thought, you know, they became all the rage 10, 12 years ago, I feel like. And then I thought they got sued a lot and were taken out of a lot of municipalities and stuff for various reasons, and it's sort of fallen out of favor. But now they're trying to do that again with this version of it, which is like a beefed up version of that same technology, basically.
It's beefed up, and to me, there's beefed up to a degree. There's a huge dividing line. I don't like. I'm annoyed by stuff like stoplight cameras. I've gotten ticketed multiple times for stoplight cameras, but I did run the fucking red lights a couple times by accident. But I did do it right. But the red light camera activates when you commit a crime, and then sends a picture of you committing the crime to your house with a bill for a ticket for the ticket.
Right, and these just do it all the time, no matter what you're doing.
These take a picture of every fucking license plate that goes by. The idea would be so you could track, like, if somebody is accused of, if a crime is committed with a particular license plate, like the guy we just watched, then you can put a license plate into the system. It would tell you every point where it's been captured. You can, like, watch the car drive around, right? So the pictures come before the crime is an important distinction here to me. So recently, 57 cities have canceled contracts with Flock over privacy and trust stuff for pretty good reasons, which is what we're going to talk about today. This is one of those things, like, Americans of all stripes have we're a really weird country where people can be simultaneously authoritarian and libertarian when it comes to their own personal behavior. So pretty much all of us have some sort of libertarian streak, and people really fucking hate these things. Like just this week, this small town of Auburn, California, it's outside of Sacramento, I think a town of about 12,000, 13,000 people. They had 12 Flock cameras until recently, and now they're down to 2 because they keep getting destroyed or stolen or breaking. Then 3 were stolen this week. Somebody threw them in a canal. But this raises the question to me, how effective are your anti-crime cameras if people are doing crimes to your anti-crime cameras?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
You know what's funny about this? I've probably told you this before, Mark. One of my very first bits ever was, I mean, it's not really a bit, though. It's just a real thing that I was told. There's no traffic lights in my hometown of Salina, Tennessee, and my dad always told me, I don't know if it's true, but my dad always told me that they attempted to install traffic lights on the town square in the 80s, but that didn't take because people kept shooting them out in the middle of the night every time they would hang them up, you know, because ain't no goddamn commie robots going to tell us when to stop and when to go, by God. But yeah, so, you know, the more things change, I guess, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, so so Flock has different kinds of cameras, which we'll get to, but they say their license plate readers, which is one, or most of their cameras, I believe, that they have no facial recognition and do not establish movement or, quote, pattern of life, which you'll see in terms of, like, assassination missions the military uses, or you're doing stakeout, missions when you're watching people trying to figure out what their routines are. Now, it's already a com because it just says they do not establish pattern of life. These statements are written by lawyers, you know what I'm saying? Do not and would not / could not are completely different fucking things.
Right. Right.
So it'd be like if Katie was like, Trey, are you having an affair? And you were like, right now? the thing is about this, So they're saying they're choosing not to do it, but any given moment you can make another choice. And I want to quote here, in a Flock product demo of the search interface, a Flock staffer walks through long-term suspect tracking in the user interface. This is a product demo they gave for law enforcement on a website that's on their fucking, a video that's on their fucking website. Quote, you can see 14 days of pattern of life or 30 days of pattern of life. So you can, once you've zoomed in on your suspect, you can start to see what they have been doing, where they have they been going, and you have a heat map that you know and love, which you can toggle on and off. So while publicly they say they don't do pattern of life, they're showing cops, like, hey, look, you can do pattern of life. You know where this person's going all the time.
Right, okay. So
Oshkosh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
So what the pattern of life, so that basically means they can use these to, like, put together a picture of any given person's, like, movements over a set amount of time. So they could show, like, where they went, where they were, and what they did, you know, if you want them to. That's what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. Trey gets a coffee from the Starbucks every morning at 8:15.
Right.
He picks his kid up from school at 2:45. Yeah, yeah. So,
right.
So, Oshkosh, Wisconsin just dropped Flock when they learned they were lying about their other capabilities, which raises a couple of questions. Like, one, what can cops do with these things? Two, what can non-cops do stuff with these things? How much access do regular people have? And three, what can Flock do with these things, and are there any legal constraints? And I can't really find any sort of legal constraints over what Flock can do once they put their fucking cameras up.
Right.
Like, So
right. Well, how would there be? We don't have any kind of real like regulation or anything yet, right, for any of this type of shit. That's part of the problem. And a lot of people who advocate for us not having any because it would stymie growth or whatever they say. But
like for example, you're getting a few states right now. I think Janet Mills, the governor of Maine, just signed a bill like forbidding people from trying to ban data centers. Like I have a feeling if you tried to like a town tried to ban flock cameras because we're talking about the city, like the ones owned by cities and towns right now, but a lot of private businesses have them. So like if you tried to ban them within a town limits, I'm sure the state government would forbid you from banning them right now. So it's the opposite of regulation.
Right.
And like here's a weird dystopian example. Okay, second Wisconsin mention of the show on the show. Shout out Wisconsin. A small city by the name of Verona voted last year to pull out of a contract with Flock in hopes of protecting residents' privacy. But in the months after the city chose to end its agreement with Flock, Mayor Luke Diaz noticed the cameras were still up. City officials reached out to Flock to demand they take down the cameras that were placed around the small town, which is a suburb of Madison. Flock ignored them and left the cameras up, saying they were too busy. And they said the cameras weren't operating, don't worry about it. But then the mayor was suspicious because he hadn't taken them down, even though the town wasn't paying for them, and he had city staff put black plastic bags over the cameras. Then Flock came and took them down. So how did Flock know that the cameras were covered with plastic bags if no one was looking right through them?
Right. Yeah.
So, be quoted from Mayor. Yeah. Be quoted from Mayor Diaz. The fact they didn't take the cameras down shows that we are the product. And they were never really selling it to us in the first place. What they're doing is selling it to much larger agencies and the ability to spy on a ton of people. So who the fuck is paying them if the city, if they keep surveilling these cities after they stop being paid? I guess it's the feds. But on a Flock webinar from January, the company policy lead denied a federal backdoor. Then 90 seconds later goes on to describe how the product has a federal backdoor, but dismisses criticism of it, saying it's only a pilot program. So it's not, we're not doing it. We're just starting to do it.
Yeah, we're just figuring out how best to do it. That's not the same thing as doing it. We're trying to really drill down the most appropriate way to tackle stripping you of all your privacy and mining all your data out to the highest bidder.
And because this is considered like an investigatory tool, it's not really clear. Like some judges have ruled that like you need something approaching a warrant to like use. People have some expectation of privacy in public. Judges, courts have consistently ruled. How much is it really arguable? But like, there don't appear to be any prior warrant restraints in practice with these, because cops apparently can just use them to go search through databases like they're Googling stuff, even with no cause necessarily cause for a crime. Evidence of a crime having been committed. Like, they've been caught a bunch of times, cops using Flock cameras to stalk women. Okay. There have been 14 cases around across the country where cops have been alleged to have abused automatic license plate reader access to follow spouses, exes, and even complete strangers. So basically, cops are seeing a hot babe out in public and then going back to the office and looking up her license plate to follow her home.
Right. Yeah. It's another great example of like this stuff like sucks for everybody and should be frightening for everyone, but it's just like so much worse for women. So many, yeah. You know what I mean? Like so many things, like the implications are true, real horror movie shit. Cause we all, you know, cops have a penchant for, domestic violence and not handling breakups well and that type of thing or whatever. So you put this type of tech in the hands of a jilted cop who's been left by his old lady or whatnot. And it's like, it's a very terrifying prospect for the woman there.
I think everybody's familiar with a lot of people are familiar with the stat that 40% of married male police officers abuse their wives physically. But I don't think everyone realizes that's a survey data. Those are the ones who self-reported doing it.
Damn, no, I didn't know that. I mean, I guess I never really thought about how they arrived at that number. But yeah, that had not occurred to me. That's wild.
Yeah. So the thing about that, I said 14 cases where cops have been found using ALPRs to stalk women. But like, the thing to know about that is like, because that doesn't sound like many, right? But that all 14 of those, it comes in 2014 when a flock really exploded into 4,000 more cities in the last 2 years. And the bulk of those 14 cases were uncovered by the victims themselves. It wasn't because there's any sort of like oversight or fellow cops caught them or whatever, or like the system reported them for abusing it. It's because people realized they were being stalked and then retroactively figured out how.
Right.
So
right.
If you think you're not being stalked, my question to you is, have you checked?
Right. Yeah. And just to clarify, a second ago, you said they expanded massively in 2014, but you mean 2024, right?
Yeah, 2024. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to clear that because it's like, you know, it's that amount of cases, that amount of time. You know what I mean? If it had been 12 years, it's sort of changes the context of it. But yeah, this is all, you know, fucking Brave New World shit we're all living through.
So some of this stuff is available when you do through Freedom of Information Act access and requests and stuff. And I got a fun anecdote to share with you after we get back from break about stalking my wife.
Okay, sounds fun. Yeah, last week the week before it was your wife sexually assaulting your dog. Now we got a fun stalking your wife. But yeah, Aaron coming through with the material each and every week. All right, we'll be right back. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. That's right. Let's talk about your yard for a second. Yards, big thing. Got to care about the yard, baby. Spring's here. If you're anything like me, well, really my wife. My wife, she is all up in that yard. She is on some yard stuff. It's honestly impressive. She started out a couple years ago. I don't know what the opposite of the color green is, but whatever that, let's say it's purple. She had a purple thumb for a long time. Couldn't keep nothing alive, but she's gotten a lot better. It's wild. You know, she's put the work in. Now she's got a veritable lush little jungle out there popping up, but in a controlled and planned sort of way. It's a whole thing. She loves plant stuff, and I love her for loving it, right? So, you know, she's been looking out our window since the moment we moved into this house 2 years ago, and she's like, we got to do something about this, right? So she has overhauled the whole yard. You know, bare patches, a sad shrub or two, a fig tree with one leaf on it, the only thing indicating it's alive. You know what I mean? The yard's a project. It's always a project, and it still is at our house too, but that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the country. Over 2 million customers, more than 1,600 varieties of trees and plants, fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, house plants, even stuff you can grow indoors if you don't have a yard, right? Like they got lemon trees, figs, avocados. I highly suggest a lemon tree, by the way. Moving to California was my introduction to having a lemon tree, and I don't know if I can ever go back. But all you do is you go online, you pick what you want, schedule delivery for when you're actually going to be home, and a few days later, shows up at your door, healthy, packed properly, ready to go right in the ground, baby. And here's what I think is the best part. Every plant is backed by their Alive and Thrive guarantee. They've got actual plant scientists on staff making sure stuff ships happy and healthy, and trained plant experts on call 7 days a week. If you've got questions about spacing, sunlight, or what is wrong with this thing, why ain't it growing right, they can help you out. You don't have to have a green thumb. Even if you got a purple thumb like my wife had, you could be like her and you can get better with the help of the good folks at Fast Growing Trees. They have real plants from real experts delivered straight to your door. It's springtime. That's the best time to plant. And right now, Fast Growing Trees has deals going on. They have up to half off on select plants, and listeners to this show get an additional 20% off their first purchase when you use the promo code SKEW at checkout. That's SKEW. An additional 20% off at fastgrowingtrees.com when you use the promo code SKEW. fastgrowingtrees.com, code SKEW, SKEW. It's the perfect time to plant, baby. Don't wait. Let's grow together with Fast Growing Trees. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we'll talk about money for a second, all right? I know, but you got to do it. Not only how to make money, how to invest it, hell if I know, right? Just the weight of money, the way it sits on you. I grew up poor as all get out. Y'all know that about me, and it's like no matter what, that kind of stress never leaves you to this day. There ain't never going to be enough at the end of the day. It won't be enough. You know, everybody knows most couples, one of the biggest things they fight about is money problems because money is real. You know, 88% of Americans said they were feeling some kind of financial stress at the start of this year. 88%. So that means it's not a personal failing on your part. It's pretty much everyone, right? And it still lands on each of us individually. It doesn't matter to you that it's everybody else. You feel it on a personal level. It messes your sleep up. It messes with your relationships, like we talked about. You know, it can turn into like real anxiety, real depression, and it often does. And most of us just walk around carrying all that weight with us without ever saying anything out loud to anybody about any of it. And that's where therapy comes in. All right. And I want to be clear. I don't mean financial advice. That's a different conversation. I'm talking about therapy. It's for the shame underneath the stress. It's for figuring out where your relationship with money came from in the first place and trying to build healthier ways to sit with it that don't involve white knuckling through every payday. You know what I mean? BetterHelp makes it easier than ever to get started with therapy. Their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They're held to a strict code of conduct, and they've been doing this for 12 years and counting. It's easy. You just fill out a short questionnaire. They'll match you with somebody based on your actual goals. And with over 30,000 therapists on the platform, they typically nail it the first time. But if they don't, you can switch whenever you want to. No questions asked. Simple as that. They got 6 million people served with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 stars across more than 1.7 million reviews. That is one hell of a sample size there. So when life feels overwhelming, therapy can help. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews for 10% off. BetterHelp, help yourself. Weekly Skews is brought to you by Americans United for the Separation of Church and State. Trump's Religious Liberty Commission has been meeting regularly, and they're not up to good stuff, right? What they're working on ain't really religious liberty for everybody. No, it's a Christian nationalist agenda, believe that or not. Religious freedom for only the right type of Christian person, and a cold shoulder go F yourself for everybody else. That's how this project works for them. Look, religious freedom is supposed to be pretty simple, right? Each individual person gets to have their own beliefs and practice them without the government interfering whatsoever. As long as you ain't harming anybody else, what's it to them? Because right now, taxpayer-funded foster and adoption agencies are turning away qualified families because they don't pass someone else's idea of a religious purity test. And these are real kids who need homes, and they're paying the price for it. Americans United has real clients dealing with this, real people like Liz and Gay Rutan Ram, a Jewish couple back in my home state of Tennessee, ready and willing to foster to adopt, and they were turned away by a state-funded agency because they're Jewish. There's Amy Madonna, a Catholic mother of three, rejected because she wouldn't sign an evangelical Protestant statement of faith. Fatma Maruf and Bryn Esplin, shown the door, told no because they're a same-sex couple. These are loving families. These are children who need homes and people who want to give them those homes. And the state, using your tax dollars, is turning those people away and telling them they can't do it because of who they are. That's not religious liberty. That's just discrimination with a Bible verse slapped on top of it. So if you believe religious freedom is supposed to protect everybody and not be turned into a weapon against everybody else, visit au.org/crooked to learn more and become a member today. This fight is far from over, and every one of us has a part to play. So go to au.org/crooked now.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, and we're back. So I understand, Mark, you got a fun stalking anecdote for us. Always love those.
So researching this topic, I found this website called Have I Been Flocked, where you can go search your license plates and see if you've showed up on one of these cameras. The caveat being only the ones where the records have been obtained via FOIA request. So it would not show up if you've been captured on a private camera. It's supposed to be disappeared or deleted after 14 or 30 days. And different jurisdictions have different, like, you know, rules for what they release to the public. All right. So I'm sitting here. I'm like, I wonder, I'm going to search my license plate, my wife's license plate, to see what shows up. Now, this is right after us talking about cops stalking their wives. I'm sitting at the kitchen table when my wife walks in while I'm searching her license plate on this website. So I'm literally doing the thing I'm fucking shitting on cops for doing, except I was doing it for research purposes.
Yeah. Right, yeah, no, yeah. You're like, research. I want to see just how nefarious this is, but then you pull it up and you're like, she went to that neighborhood how many times? What the fuck? Hold on.
I could have, yeah. Really, I'm such a chicken shit. I would only do it if I thought I had nothing to suspect. If he was up to some dirt, I wouldn't want to know, so I wouldn't have looked.
No,
but anyway,
I didn't know when you just saying just now that was the thing. The first thought I had was like, I kind of wish I hadn't learned that even existed. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know if I can resist going and checking that out and then getting freaked the fuck out about something. But anyway, and I'm not even talking about Katie. I'm talking about myself, actually. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What? Someone's fucking keeping tabs on me or whatever for commie purposes. But
right. Anyway. Well, if it makes you, again, this, we don't have access to everything, but if it makes you feel better, neither mine nor Aaron's license plate showed up anywhere on these things. So, but I want to note here, there's at least two kinds of cameras that Flock is rolled out so far. You got the ALRPs, which you talked about, and they also have AI cameras for trapping people that are called Condor cameras that they like to talk about less because, to be fair, they, you know, have less of them, or they're just rolling them out. And you might be thinking, well, you know, this is less than ideal, but this is cops, right? It's not like everyone can use this shit. You know, there must be some kind of professional oversight, you know, yada, yada, yada. To which I want to say, are you new here? There's an independent YouTuber by the name of Ben Jordan. Ben with two N's. If you look up his stuff, his videos are really good. He used search engines to find administrative interfaces for about 60 of Flock's AI cameras. These are trail cameras and stuff filming public locations. And so I want to, first of all, I give a shout out to Ben and 404 Media, who he's been working with, who I'm stealing from for this right here. This is a video he made called the Flock camera leak is like Netflix for stalkers. Again, he found this just via search engines, access to 60 Flock cameras. Here you go, please. There you go.
In just the time that it took to count and verify these vulnerabilities, I saw a family in North Carolina load their infant and a bunch of merchandise in a Lowe's parking lot. And I suppose one could cross-reference their license plate with the Park Mobile data breach and find out exactly where the garage is that will store these new fancy tools. I watched a man leave his house in the morning in New York. I watched a woman jogging alone on a forest trail in Georgia. This trail had multiple cameras, and I could watch a man rollerblade and then take a break to watch rollerblading videos on his phone. How? Because the camera's AI automatically zoomed in on it. Just like it zoomed in on a couple arguing at a street market in Atlanta. So what? They're still anonymous, right? No, they're not. Within 2 minutes of open source intelligence using a commercial facial recognition engine, I found out that one of them just finished medical school and the other is dealing with chronic irritable bowel syndrome. The couple also just had a baby last year and they have a pretty concerning debt to income ratio.
Right,
I also know that they drove...
My God, dude. I'm not going to lie. There's always been a part of me, and it's like I've always had the sort of like mental wherewithal to hide this from people because it's like I know that it's kind of dumb, but there's always been deep inside of me this little bit of that streak of like, well, you know, look, if you're not doing anything wrong, then fucking at the end of the day, I've always kind of had some of that, but like this shit is like – I don't know how anyone isn't freaked the fuck out by something like that. You know what I mean? Like, people have, it's like human nature to value their privacy at least a little bit. Like, this is fucking, I mean, that's wild. He's just some guy. Like, anybody takes a special interest in you and has any kind of, like, technical aptitude whatsoever, and they can find out, you know, track your wife's movements all throughout the day or whatever, or, you know, like, I don't know. That shit is nuts. Get access to your medical records and all this stuff. Crazy.
That's just because what Ben was using there is stuff that's publicly available, right? Like the public available access to the Flock cameras, stuff that's been dumped on the internet because of data breaches from companies fucking up the security, and then the rest of it's just publicly available tools if you know where to look, right? So those are just 60 Flock cameras. Again, law enforcement has access to every camera. They have access to much better databases and much better. So, yeah, like on one hand, you're just like, it's horrifying that cops have access to this stuff. But if you're not doing anything wrong, then what do you have to worry about, right? But you also, if you're leaving all this stuff available to the public, you got this technology's ostensible purpose is to fight crime, but also lets you know when and where specific women jog alone with their earbuds in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No.
So
yeah,
what the
that
fuck?
That ain't good.
Good. Yeah. I mean, what if you want to know what kids play when unsupervised at the park? Get this next video map.
Here's an exposed flock safety camera permanently pointed at a playground near the Bay Area in California. Openly and publicly broadcasting both live and archived video footage of young children playing unattended. Again, right. Just seeing this.
So if you watch a video to see a kid you like, you can go back to the archives and see if the kid comes every day. Silicon Valley has created a restaurant lobster tank for fucking pedophiles.
Right. Yeah,
and they think this is a good idea to do.
I get the idea of wanting to have surveillance at a playground or whatever in case something happens to a kid, but having that available 24/7 to, the people who want to make something happen to a kid seems like, incredibly short-sighted and ill-advised. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, I don't get how anyone alive isn't immediately like, well, this is fucking nuts and not good. But, I mean, a lot of people don't know about it. I didn't know about it until you told me about it, That's definitely a part of it.
I didn't know it was this fucking bad until I started diving into this. But, there's also, a really poignant moment in here where Ben points something out in the video where, I hadn't thought about. You're right. If something went wrong at the park, I guess it would be good to have a facial recognition camera that would tell you who took the kid, right? I think, obviously... you do want to stop bad things from happening, but there's a hidden cost here that you don't think about when you think about surveillance. He shows that same playground when it's empty. An adult man walks by, looks around, and then decides to have a swing. And he sits down, and he swings. It's a quiet moment of introspection and solitude. Maybe the guy's remembering his childhood, remembering playing. Maybe his dad brought him to that park, whatever. But the whole point is that moment's only possible because he's not fucking being observed or didn't know he was.
Right.
So, it's like we've gotten whimsy down 40%, Your Honor. It's like a cop standing at a press conference being like, we've gotten quiet moments of introspection off the, down along with the cocaine trade. Yeah. It's just sick and drives me insane. That's something called, it's called the Hawthorne effect, which security companies brag about cameras deterring theft and shit, which I need to point out here, Flock always brags about burglaries going down, but then when independent people come in and do data, they found a bunch of towns where burglaries actually went up when Flock cameras were put in. I don't think that's a cause and effect thing. I just think it doesn't fucking do as much as you think it does.
I guess the idea is, if you're talking about a burglar, they want to make it... the idea, it's like... In a zombie movie, you ain't got to be the fastest guy. You just got to be faster than the slowest guy or whatever. And I guess maybe the idea with home security is make your house, not the most tantalizing or whatever. But I've always thought, if somebody wants to get in there, they're going to fucking do it probably. I mean, unless you've got, armed guards and stuff like that. So, I've always thought that the kind of deterrent factor is overstated too, people really won't want to do it or they're truly desperate. Well, or whatever.
Yeah, but even then, if you're right, to quote my papa who had an eighth grade education, a lock only stops an honest man. These things talking about the backlash about this stuff. So in Dunwoody, Georgia, which is a small suburb of Atlanta, I believe, a blog post written by a local resident by the name of Jason Hunyor went viral and caused a huge backlash. And what he found was he basically filed a Freedom of Information Act request for access logs to the city's Flock cameras. And what he found was that law enforcement from around the country, including people at Flock headquarters, were accessing sensitive cameras in the town to they were using basically as a demonstration of what they were doing to other cities. So Flock would log in and show other cops stuff going around Dunwoody, including surveillance tech in a children's gymnastics room, a playground, a school, a Jewish community center, and a pool. So, hey, fellow law enforcement enthusiasts, do you want to look at an adult like an elderly person's aerobics class, a Jewish community center, and some kids wearing leotards. For what fucking purpose is this shit?
Right.
Like, so I'd have to do the, like, to be fair thing here. So Flock's defense for themselves is pretty interesting because they responded to this outrage in Dunwoody. Flock argues, this is a blog from its CEO or one of its executives, sorry. Flock also argued that it is more transparent than any other surveillance company because it creates these access logs at all and they can be obtained using public records requests. Quote, I must state the irony of the situation. We're one of the few technology companies in this space dedicated to radical transparency. But this raises the question, what other surveillance companies are you fucking talking about that are recording videos of our children's gymnastics classes?
Right.
Can you tell us?
Right. I mean, isn't this kind of like, sort of like going back to like Edward Snowden and the NSA and all that stuff when all that first came out? It's like people don't realize the degree to which they are or can be surveilled or whatever. And so it's been just ratcheted up ever since then. And, you know, that was using systems and stuff that people had no idea existed. So this is like a public company that if you own a business, you can buy their services for. But there's like some DARPA-funded shit or something that, you know, we don't even know about that also is doing the same thing at all times.
Yeah. It's like, so, like, and so as far as, like, Flock's defense of itself, that, like, we let you look at what we're looking at. Well, that might be going away soon because states have started to realize this and be annoyed by the public backlash again. So, like, two states that I know of, at least Arizona and Connecticut, are considering bills that would limit Freedom of Information Act requests that pertain to Flock data, which I guess is good because, it would potentially, like, give penalties for stuff like Flock making available, publicly available videos of children's playgrounds, right?
Right, right. Well, I was just thinking that. This feels like a just damned if you do, damned if you don't, or rather just fuck all of this. You know, it shouldn't be happening at all. But it's like the idea that they're like, well, at least we're transparent. We make it available to people, but that's like the problem we were just talking about, right? That means it's available to playground footage, is available to pedos and shit. But then you're like, but if you say, well, you shouldn't do that, well, then now we have the fucking top secret minority report version of it that's cloaked in shadow and everything, and that is also bad. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Well, so the videos, the actual video footage, those were available through a security loophole that some they just clearly fucked up or didn't care enough, right?
Okay.
I think with the FOI, the FOIA law stuff would prevent is like have I been flocked stuff where I went and searched my wife's license plate. So in theory, it would curtail some stalking behavior, like me stalking my wife.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would the problem, like, you know, when the 14 people who figured out the cops were stalking them through Freedom of Information Act requests, basically what it do was stop them from being, no one would ever know if cops ever stalked them again unless the cops self-reported or called each other. Which cops policing each other? Yeah, good fucking luck. So, I want to quote here from that blog from Flock. I understand the concern from the resident, but it is unequivocally false to assert that Flock or the police or city officials are doing anything other than using technology to stop major crimes in the city. This crime panic, in which we're handing over privacy, which is the core basis of every other right as a free person, we're giving it away in fear of fucking nothing.
Right.
Stop major crimes.
This goes back to
city.
Like at least a fucking, you know, like the Patriot Act and stuff, right? Like I feel like that's where this type of, and I'm sure there was versions of this even before that, but it feels like that when it, mm-hmm. this is when that sort of went mainstream or whatever. Like people, you know, the idea that it's worth it to hand over your privacy in the name of law and order, basically.
What's the Ben Franklin quote? Those who give up freedoms in exchange for security deserve neither, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're like, basically, please let me hand over my freedom in exchange for a little bit of fake security. And this fake security that they're trying to achieve in Dunwoody, Georgia, is, when I say it's in service of nothing, Dunwoody, Georgia is a suburb of 51,000 people with a median income of 121 grand a year, and it's the hometown of Ryan Seacrest. In 2025, the murder rate dropped 100% from 1 to 0. It had 68 burglaries in the entirety of last year. And to fight this, I want you to look at the picture from their fucking headquarters, Trey, where they have cops watch all these screens. If you pull up this image, Matt, this is Minority Report where they report actual minorities. Like, look at that fucking shit.
That's funny. That's like, I mean, it would be a little bit dated, but that's like a funny sketch idea. I kind of can't believe no one ever did that. Minority Report, but yeah, it's just the tech only reports minorities.
I mean, AI is racist because it's trained upon by humans, so it kind of is that. But I just don't understand why would you in a time where in politics where people to complain about any type of public investment. You can't invest in libraries or fucking schools, making buses or subways free, providing food for poor people is like off limits in any way, shape, or form. We can't invest in scientific research. We can't fucking give AIDS medicines to kids in Africa. Healthcare. We will spend unlimited money to stop the 0.5 homicides that have happened in the last 2 years yearly in Dunwoody, Georgia. There's a lady sitting there 24/7 watching these 400 cameras that are recording all their moves. For what? Right. Like, it's like, it drives me insane. And I want to note here that Flock has acquired Aerodome, a manufacturer of drones for law enforcement, and has announced plans to produce its own line of camera drones. You want to feel schizophrenic as fuck, Trey? I want you to watch this video of our coming future if Flock has its way. Here's a video. China has created drones that look like birds. Watch this.
观察一名队员呢，是现在释放了一个仿生鸟，它的作用就是现在呢看到的是一个仿生鸟在空中呢进行。So okay, I'm getting pretty fucking tired of reality, like proving all these lunatic conspiracy theories right about so many things. All these people I made fun of for years, because I'm sure you're aware. But
yeah,
that birds aren't real. Birds are government surveillance drones. It was almost like a meme conspiracy theory, like a joke conspiracy theory that like became its own thing. And now like even that is real, apparently, or is about to be real. So like, dude, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. So right now, like Flock's like defense of itself is like, oh, it's mostly license plate readers. They don't look at faces, right? Then they roll out the faces. Then they buy an aerial drone company. You think they're going to be happy just with the license plate readers strapped to telephone poles and shit? Then I think you're fucking insane. Because how dead on like Dunwoody, Georgia, if they feel the need to surveil like 25 cameras in a town of 51,000 people, why wouldn't they launch the birds with AI drones in it?
Right.
Yeah, why would each person have their own bird drone following them around? That's what they do every day.
Well, before long, there'll be some guy, businessman walking home past the playground and his dad just died or something like that. And he has this moment of reflection and he goes and his dad used to push him on the swing. So he goes and sits in the swing, tries to enjoy this moment. And then like a robot crow lands next to him and like pulls a little gun out or a taser or something. It's like, state your purpose, citizen. You know?
Yes.
Like, how far away are we from that happening?
And again, I hate to sound like some fucking libertarian freak here, but like, it's not that I think that's has to happen. It's like, but like, we're just like drifting that direction. And people go and complain about this shit at city councils. And like, there was a huge backlash in Dubwe against this. People went and complained about it at city council meetings. And then what happened? Here's the punchline. After Flock was caught demonstrating their crime-fighting capabilities by letting cops around the country watch the people of Dunwoody swim in their own town's pool, the town renewed their contract anyway. They just did that this week. So, like, people, apparently, no amount of outrage or complaining in their fucking democracy will stop you from being observed.
Right. What is the... In that scenario, is it a thing like we talked about with BJ Barham all those weeks ago when he was talking about him running for like these lower level offices like city council, because like the town is paying the money to the company, right? And the townspeople don't want it to happen, but they still vote for it to happen, and it's just like because someone on the council is benefiting from it, you know what I mean? Or that type of thing. Someone's in somebody's pocket or something. Like it's like low level lobbying or some shit at the city council level. Like, why not?
You know how you didn't know this was happening, and I think I kind of didn't either. I started looking deeply into it, like to this degree. Like, I think most people, like the city council, probably made a smart bet that most people have no idea it's happening, and even when informed about it, kind of don't care because they're not doing anything wrong. But the crime panic is ongoing and constant. So people are like, you can find people defending Flock, being like, "Well, there was a woman in an article about Dunwoody where she was like, well, I think we just got to get the crime down, so I'm in favor of this." It's like, but no one ever asked her, what fucking crime are you talking about, lady? She just thinks she's under threat all the time. I don't know. But, like, the thing is, like, even if you want to be watched, we just established, when we talk about Verona, Wisconsin, that Flock will do it for free. You can just stop paying them, and ICE or whoever will continue funding them to fucking watch you. So just, like, let the contracts lapse. That's my budgetary tip for these small towns.
Right.
Is let them do the dystopia for free. But before I get out of here, the reason I want to talk about the guy up top in Colorado who keeps getting nonstop pulled over, really, I just wanted to do the whole segment to talk about this case I just found about recently, this guy in California. This is an absolutely maddening case of being trapped in the criminal adjacent to the criminal justice system in a way where no one will listen to you, and it will make you want to fucking pull your hair out.
Yeah.
This case was first, went viral in 2003-24, and I missed it somehow, but it is back in the news because the real asshole here is appealing his conviction for being too harsh because the judge went over the sentencing guidelines. And I think when I explain to you this case, you'll be like, they absolutely should put him back in jail forever. Okay. So we got two guys. The asshole here, his real name is Matthew David Kearns. In the late 80s, Kearns worked at a hot dog stand in Albuquerque with a guy named William Woods, who was otherwise homeless. Okay. Kearns stole Woods' wallet, then his identity. So from here on, here forward, we will call them Real Bill and Fake Bill. All right? Should you follow me?
Right. Yeah, all Fake right. Bill is not the homeless guy. The Fake Bill is the guy that stole the identity from the homeless guy who is Real Bill. Real Bill.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out, like, he did get a bunch of loans out in Real Bill's name, so I think that was his original motivation, but he also just got married and had kids under his new identity as Fake Bill, right? He built a career as Fake Bill. He worked in, like, IT admin stuff. Real Bill tried several times to reclaim his identity, but no one believed him because he's fucking homeless, right? So, like I said, Fake Bill took out a bunch of loans in Real Bill's name. Real Bill went to the bank to report those weren't his loans. The bank then called Fake Bill, who said that Real Bill was actually the Bill who was fake. So the bank turned Real Bill into the cops, who arrested him for stealing his own goddamn identity and threw him in a mental institution, refusing to admit that he wasn't himself.
Oh my God. When I tell you, you started this by saying this, but if I was not insane, that would literally turn me insane. Because one of my biggest hangups I have on planet Earth is when I'm like accused of something that isn't the case. Like I always say, it's like if people want to talk shit about me, it's like, oh, he's a pandering left, libtard dipshit. I'm like, yeah, you got me, whatever. But like when people say like that accent's fake, he's clearly faking it, it's just a whole thing that he's doing or whatever, it drives me nuts. So even like low level shit like that, or like I met a comic once for the first time and she was like, no, we know each other, you did my show, you kind of had a whole thing on stage where you insulted everybody and the crowd got upset, and I was like, that never happened. She was convinced it happened. Turns out it was Drew. She was mixing me and Drew up. Drew did that. But I could not make her believe that was Drew, not me, even though it was Drew, not me. And you see me, I'm getting fired up about it now. This was 8 years ago. Like, I get that type of thing drives me nuts. So something like this, dude, I would end up needing to be in a rubber room, just slamming my head against the wall all the time, because this would cause a full-blown breakdown in me, something like this.
And also, when the whole world is convinced that you aren't you, like, you must start thinking that you actually are crazy.
Right.
Like, because, like, Real Bill, they had to forcibly medicate him. He was in jail for a fucking year. So how this all ended back in, I think, 2024, was that Fake Bill was living in Wisconsin, working remotely as an IT administrator, making $140,000 a year for the University of Iowa. He called the campus police to report that he was still being harassed by Real Bill, who was still trying to get his identity back. But what he did was he fucked up by accidentally insulting, he's so goddamn arrogant, he actually insulted the Iowa college cop. He basically said, you're just a campus cop. I don't expect you'll be able to do anything. So the campus cop was like, all right, bet, challenge accepted. So he made them both get fucking DNA tests, which anyone could have done since this all started in 1988. And he unraveled the whole goddamn thing. And then Fake Bill got arrested for pretending to be Fake Bill for fucking 30 years or whatever. And now he's appealing, saying his 12-year goddamn sentence is too harsh. I have changed my mind about the death penalty. I am pro-death penalty for this one guy fucking specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. That's bananas. And it's like, and the only reason that he even got brought to justice at all ultimately is because he insulted a cop's ego or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the only reason. Like, his arrogance if he had, thing, if he, like, it never would have happened otherwise. And justice shouldn't hinge on shit like that.
The amount of nothing this cop would have otherwise done. But you can't, like, he was calling to file a, like, just a just-in-case report about a guy bugging him. They would have done nothing if he had insulted the cop. This cop specifically had tried to be a real cop, but couldn't get on the force because he was too fat. This is part of the story that's relevant to his ego. He had been working to lose weight to become a real cop while he worked as a college cop, so he was extra, like, hyped up to prove himself. This guy, Fake Bill, just really walked into it here. He could have got away with this for the rest of his life.
All right, well, God bless Fake Bill. Real Bill. God bless Real Bill. Fuck Fake Bill forever. All right. Yeah. Thank you guys for watching and supporting the show. We appreciate it. And, yeah, that's it. See me on the road, just real quick, TreyCrowder.com. That's all I'm going to say, though. Other than that, we'll see you next time. Love you. Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.